Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to our everyday lives. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
What am I trying to hide? And why do I keep on waiting when I know it's on the other side? It's time to let the light in, let the light in.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
You dwell in the midst this morning. It's still morning, right? Yeah. Whew. We just love you, Jesus. Have your way. Open our eyes to wondrous things in your word today, Jesus. I pray just like the men on the road to Emmaus that our hearts would burn within us as you expound the scriptures to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. Says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? Say vain thing.
Vain.
Empty thing. Worthless thing. Futile thing. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Well, what are they doing? The kings of the earth set themselves, or they establish themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. Against who? The Lord. And who? Against his anointed. So you got to get the picture. These kings are crafting, they're devising, they're scheming, they're planning. How are we going to dethrone Jesus in the United States? How are we going to dethrone Jesus in Iran? How are we going to dethrone his kingdom rule in Brevard County? And you have to know something. We are in a war. We're in a war. Derek Prince says that when you're born again, you're born into a kingdom that is violently being established in the earth. And you have an enemy. We have an enemy. And one of the greatest deceptions of the devil, the serpent, is to convince me that my enemy is in the White House. That our chief enemy is Biden, the chief enemy is POTUS, the chief enemy is the LGBTQ community, my chief enemy is the abortion agenda in the United States, our enemy is Disney Plus, right? And I'm not saying that these people aren't partnering with these rulers and these kings. But the reality is, whenever you try to find out who is behind all this in Hollywood, what evil person is at work behind Hollywood? What evil agenda are they scheming in the White House? Ultimately, you always hit a wall because there's always somebody behind a human being. There's no real human being in charge. These people are underneath what Paul says, the sway of the wicked one. That the whole earth, those who are not in Christ, are underneath the sway of the wicked one. Whether they realize it or not, if you're not in Christ, you're swaying with the kingdom of darkness. Glenn Beck, who's heard of Glenn Beck? Okay. He said he had a dream recently, and in the dream, he was brought to the White House. He was arrested, and it was him and three other people, and they were being forced into this particular room in the White House. And he's like, I don't know who these people are behind me, but he just knew they were extremely powerful. They had extreme authority. And he's like, and they were wearing these outfits that I've never seen before. They weren't military outfits. They weren't political outfits. but they're wearing some strange uniform, forced us into this room, shut the door, and pointed to the other three people. They said, you, come with us. And Glenn Beck's sitting there like, oh, you know, thinking, like, who are these people? Why am I here? And they drag the three people into the hallway, and he hears three gunshots. Boom, boom, boom. People come back in the room and look at Glenn Beck, and they said, we're going to let you live, but we're going to study you. You have no idea who you're messing with. And you ever seen Mission Impossible, where Tom Cruise rips the face off, the mask off? These people rip their mask off, and it's a demon. It's a demon. What we're facing in this nation is not going to be fixed by some great politician. It's not going to be fixed by, let's just get people back in the schools, let's get people back into the government. Those things, as good as they are, the reality is we are in a spiritual war for this nation. But he who sits in the heavens laughs. Yahweh prophesied through Isaiah, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up in accusation against us, we condemn in the name of Jesus. This is your kingdom, Jesus. This is your nation. And we have to come from the reality that we are not fighting for victory in this nation. Jesus is enthroned, and he's not going anywhere. Nobody is going to kick Jesus off his throne. King Jesus is going to have his way in the nations. And we're either on team Jesus or we're on team serpent. That's how it is. That's how it is. And therefore, before we do Jesus's king rallies in the streets, which I think it's awesome, I think we need to do Jesus's king rallies in the church. I think many of us, including myself, have lost heart in some ways. I believe that a lack of the revelation of the resurrection and enthronement of King Jesus plays a major part in our discouragement, our complacency for the Great Commission, our cowardice, and our defeated mentalities. If you've seen The Hobbit, there's a scene where these dwarfs, these like short people with beards, even their wives have beards. It's weird. It's such a good movie. But they're on a journey toward a mountain to take back their treasure, right? And the problem is there's a massive dragon in the mountain. So they hire this short little dude named Bilbo to join them, and because he's so small, they think, oh, he can sneak in there and get our treasure back without waking the dragon. And I won't spoil it for you, but essentially they go to this forest on their journey called Mirkwood, and Mirkwood Forest has a sickness on it. You remember? Who's seen this movie? Okay, yeah. Five of us, unite. Yeah! Lord of the Rings nerds. They're like, there's a spell on this forest. And so, and it is, it's like, even they depict it as like, ain't nobody going to catch me in this forest unless like Jesus himself drags me into this forest. It's just dark, spooky, and outside the sun's shining, it's beautiful. Well, they're like, well, we got to get to the mountain, so got to go in the forest. So they go in the forest, and sure enough, they become spellbound. And they're finding that they're becoming disillusioned. They're confused. They forget what they're doing. They're like, one guy's like in a tree, like looking around. One dude's walking forwards, but he's looking at his feet and his feet are going backwards. It's like he's tripping on mushrooms. And then little Bilbo the Hobbit says, dude, oh, it's the sickness. I need to get fresh air. And so what does he do? He climbs a tree, gets up above the tree line, the forest, and the sun shines on him. There's beautiful purple butterflies everywhere. He breathes in the fresh, crisp air of the mountains, and he realizes, oh, That's what we're doing. We're on a mission. I forgot. And he sees the mountain. He's like, I know where we need to go. And so from that refreshing and from that revelation and that heavenly perspective, he was able to go back down into the forest and lead the dwarves into freedom. And when I was watching that movie recently, the Lord's like, that is prayer. That is worship. That's what happens when we live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, in Colossians, he says, hey, if Christ is risen and ascended to the throne of God, live there. Don't set your mind on earthly things. Don't set your mind on Mirkwood. You're going to find yourself 20 years down the road and you're like, why was I even doing this? What does this have to do with the kingdom? What does this have to do with our great King Jesus adventure? But when you spend that time in prayer and intimacy, the Bible says in Ephesians, through Jesus, we have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. Every time, you can do it right now, just set your attention on him. Supernaturally, what's happening? You're ascending above the forest. And you're coming before heavenly places where Jesus is enthroned. Far above all rule and principalities and powers. And Father, just as John G. Lake said, Lord, I pray over us that the throne love and the throne life and the throne power would be our inheritance in Jesus' name. Lord, raise us up this morning. You said to John, come up here and I'll show you things. Father, I pray for those who have been trapped by the enchantments of the wicked one. I pray today revelation and liberation to you in Jesus' name. I declare the finished work of Jesus over you in the name of Jesus. I declare the power of the resurrection over you in Jesus' name. Well, I speak to depression in the name of Jesus. We break your power right now in the name of Jesus. We come against the fear of man and we break your back right now in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against us. Father, I declare your word. You said you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a mind at peace. So God, we break agreement with the fear of man. We repent and we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us so that we can walk in the fear of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. We speak healing to shoulders right now. If you have shoulder pain, I want you to stand up. Okay, people, disciples of Jesus, I want you to surround them and we're going to pray and God's going to heal right now. And we're going to get testimony of King Jesus in this room right now. If you're a disciple of Jesus, I want you to lay hands on these people and pray in the name of Jesus. Just simply say in the name, tell the pain to go right now. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, we speak healing right now. We thank you for this finished work of Jesus. We speak to these shoulders and we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. We speak to every ligament, every joint, the muscles. We say, pain, go now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Yeshua, go. We release healing now. I speak to every spirit of infirmity. I command you to leave these shoulders right now in the name of Jesus. Now test it out. I want you guys to test your shoulders. Is any who in here is already experiencing healing? Come on. Come on. Healing already. Come on. Healing? Any pain? Any pain left? A little bit. Pray again. Pray again for him. In the name of Jesus. All pain go in the name of Jesus. 100% right now in Jesus' name. King Jesus, you reign. Healing now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Yeshua. Okay, test it again. Any left? If, very little. Come on, pray more. Pray again. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. King Jesus is here, guys. King Jesus is in the room. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We speak to hopelessness right now, and we bind you in Jesus' name. Disappointments from the past are being broken off of you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you've been hurt by the church. Your healing is right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we break agreement with offense towards other brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. And I thank you for unity in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. How's it? Test it out. Any left? Tiny. What was it before? What was it before? Yeah, come on. Jesus, thank you for finishing. How's it? Any pain? Come on. What was it before? A lot of pain. Come on. Can we, somebody else keep praying for him? But thank you, Jesus. Come on. What's happening right now? Paul said, I did not come to you with gospels of a gospel merely with words, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We were at the, I don't even know if I'm getting a sermon today. That's okay. We were at Walmart, Quentin Comino and I. He's drummed here before. He's amazing. We were at Walmart. Every once in a while at Vessel, we're like, dude, it's evangelism night. People show up and they're like, oh crap, it's evangelism night. And I'm like, yeah, sorry, you're stuck with us now. So we take them to Walmart. And one night we went to Walmart and we're just like, Lord, show us that one person. Like, we don't want to waste time. There are so many people in need. Show us who you want us to minister to. And from a distance, he was back towards like the toy section. We're like in the entertainment system section. And the Holy Spirit's like, that's him. And as soon as I'm feeling it, Quentin's like, I think it's that guy. I'm like, it is that guy. We're going to that guy. So we get up near him and he's wearing a shirt that says Repentless. And it's Jesus with his eyes being gouged out by these ravens. It's just a straight demonic shirt. And so I'm really glad that the Father put him on our heart way back in the entertainment section. Because if I would have gone by what I saw, I'd have been like, let's get away from that dude. But King Jesus, he was ready. And so we shared a little bit of the gospel, but he had his walls up, you know. He's just, you know, whatever, dude. And so we were talking about metal music because I love metal. And so we related to that. But then I was like, hey, do you have any, what? All pain gone? Come on. Jesus. Come on. How long have you had the pain? 18th of November. Come on. Praise Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. So I was like, yeah, bro, you have any pain in your body? He's like, yeah, my shoulder. And he blew his rotator cuff at the gym. So I was like, Quentin, put your hands on him, pray for him. So Quentin prays for him. And I was like, okay, bro, test it out. He's like, he's looking at me like, and he's like, what the bleep did you just do to me? Because Jesus just healed this man. So, you know, like Mario Murillo said, he was in California at Berkeley in the midst of the sexual revolution. If you know anything about this, where that all started, it mainly started at Berkeley. It was like the devil's fortress at Berkeley. And here he is, like a disciple of Jesus, trying to win people to Christ. But how was he doing it? He was doing it with eloquence. He was trying to use apologetics to argue people into the kingdom. And he said he'd quote Smith, he'd quote C.S. Lewis and different apologetics. And he said, one day this guy came to me, this massive man came storming at me. And he's like, dude, the guy had murder in his eyes. He was going to kill me. And he came storming at me, picked me up off the ground. He's like, dude, I was raised in the hood. This guy was going to kill me. And the Father said to him, to his spirit, he said, try C.S. Lewis on him. What is he saying? He was kind of joking, like, try your argument on this man. He's about to kill you. He's going to kill you. If you try to use debate with this dude, you're done. And so then Jesus says to Mario, he's like, you listen to me and you do exactly as I tell you. And he's like, yes, sir. He's like off the ground, like, this guy's going to kill me. But so he's literally off the ground. This demon-possessed man is about to kill him. And God says, you point to him and you speak and you say, in the name of Jesus, you put me down right now and you leave me. Dude, he's like, in the name, you know, it starts, in the name, the guy puts him down, gets this huge eyes of terror and looks behind Mario. He's like, and he just runs away. What did he see? Mario's like, I don't know what he saw. He probably saw a massive angel behind me. But, you know, the apostles did not divorce the gospel from miracles, signs, and wonders. They never did. And one of the greatest problems in the church today is there's been a meat cleaver in the spirit. R.T. Kendall talks about it. If you ever watched the movie Holy Ghost, I think it's the one, or Father of Lights, one of them. But R.T. Kendall, man, he's this nerdy theologian that's just gets you because he's Holy Spirit filled, you know? And he said there's been a silent divorce in the church between the Word and the Spirit. And he said, what happens with divorces? Kids tend toward the parent's side, the mom's side, or the dad's side, right? He said, there's been a divorce in the church between the Word and the Spirit. And he said, what did the kids on the Word side say? We need the Bible. We need to get back to the Scriptures. We need to teach Scripture. We need to make disciples and teach the Bible. And until we do that, we're not going to see the name of Jesus exalted as it ought to be. What's wrong with that emphasis? Nothing. That's awesome. What did the kids on the Spirit side say? Holy Spirit, we need you. We need your presence. We need your glory. We want to fall on our face like the Levites in the temple. We want the presence of God to show up so much that people at Lighthouse walk through the building and get healed of blindness without even hands laid on them. I've literally witnessed that at my church in California. A blind dude, our friends brought him in. He's like being, you know, brought into church. He goes through the threshold, gets healed on the spot. Nobody even prayed for him. It's just what happens when people honor the presence of Jesus. We need the presence. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the gifts. We need the signs. We need the wonders. Well, what's wrong with that emphasis? Nothing. What R.T. Kendall said and what Smith Wigglesworth prophesied back in the early 1900s is there's going to come a day where God is going to return the Word and the Spirit. And it's going to come together in such a way that it's going to be spontaneous combustion. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, just want to punch somebody in the face right now. There's too many soft people in the church. We just need to get aggressive, you know? With demons. My son Isaiah and I have been talking all week about this sermon that I'm never going to get to. And he's like, Dad, I just wish that a demon would, like, when Jesus returns, that it would just eat me alive. And I'd have like two swords. And then when I'm in its stomach, I'd just slice it through and be like, yeah. And I just get demon blood all over me. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. You know, like, that's what we need. Like, what men are born with a desire for a battle to fight, even women. Like, where's the aggression? You know? So, man, I'm fired up. I just want to punch somebody in the face. The Word and the Spirit is going to return. Where it's no, I got offended by the Spirit Church. I was raised in the Spirit Church, but I was hungry for more of the Word of God. And so I abandoned the Spirit Church, went over into Word Camp, started hanging out with people on the Word side. And as much as I was going deep theologically and I was learning a lot about Jesus, I wasn't knowing Jesus. Jesus told the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures because you think through the Scriptures you have life. This is what testifies of me, but you won't come to me. You can spend time in the Bible and not spend time with Jesus. Jesus told the Pharisees who studied Scripture more than anybody, who memorized Torah in the Hebrew, I know the Word of God ain't abiding in you. Jesus, do you know who you're talking to? I've got a PhD and PhD. Jesus did not care. He's like, no, I know the Word of God is not abiding in you because if you believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote about me. He testified about me. And so here I was, like, learning so much about Jesus, but missing Jesus. And I remember I was reading a book called The Cross of Christ because I wanted to be a faithful Christian, right? And I'm learning a lot, but spiritually just dry and crusty. And I told my wife, I'm like, something's off, because as much as I'm learning about Jesus, like, I miss him. And she's like, well, are you talking to him while you read the book? I was like, oh. Just, I'm not the quickest when it comes to common sense. And so then that started this journey of like, yeah, Jesus, Paul said, knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. What is he saying? So therefore, don't read your Bible. Let's just go over here and just be in the Holy Spirit and have like Jell-O brains. No, read Paul. You'll see the man was extremely intelligent. I mean, lawyers study the book of Romans to this day. Do you know that? They study Paul's letters to this day because of how absolutely methodical he is. So what it's not saying is abandon the Bible, just know Jesus. I've heard people say, well, the early church didn't have the Bible. They just had the Holy Spirit. I'm like, correction. They had the entire Old Testament, and when they go out and preach, they preach directly from the Old Testament. And so what happened was I ended up having a dream, and in the dream I saw Jesus, or no, in the dream it was just black, but I heard Jesus say to me, what was the first thing I did when I died? And I was like, I don't know. And he said, I tore the veil. I tore the veil. What was behind the veil? What was behind the veil in Jerusalem? The Holy of Holies. And who was in there?
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.